Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everyone, Kevin here. Hope you're having a great week. Before we get into today's episode, I want to give you a very special opportunity to win a copy of F9, The Fast Saga. No matter how fast you are, no one outruns their past. Vin Diesel returns for the 9th chapter of the worldwide blockbuster series in F9, The Fast Saga, also starring John Cena. Own F9, The Fast Saga with never-before-seen director's cut and all-new bonus content on 4K UHD and Blu-ray and digital. All you have to do for a chance to win is go to our social media, either Facebook or Twitter, find the Venom post, the episode you're listening to right now, and comment on why you love the Fast and Furious series. That's it. We'll pick winners at random and we'll send out either a digital code or a Blu-ray copy. Good luck and enjoy today's episode.
Okay, the word is out. They're gonna talk about the VOD and the silver.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, Venom, Please Stop the Carnage.
Yeah, but, yep.
But they won't.
Well, we know they won't.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, this one has an obvious one. I tweeted it. Venom, Let There Be Cringe.
Yeah. This is holy. This might be the worst superhero movie I've ever seen.
It's pretty bad.
It's real bad.
I just want to say thank you all for being on the same page. I was like, oh my gosh, if one of them liked this movie.
No.
I will say the only thing that saves this movie from complete disaster is that end credit sequence.
Oh my God. I disagree with that. That end credit sequence to me plays like a threat. Like, oh my God, you're going to do what?
Yeah, we're going to get into it because I have a feeling I know what's going to happen.
I was just like, oh, it's almost like Sony holding the MCU hostage.
Right. Like, right, because, you want the rights to Spider-Man? Well, you better
put Venom in there.
Better let us keep doing this stuff.
Okay. I was going the other way. That the MCU was like, we're taking that one too.
No,
I don't think the MCU want. They don't need it. Like I think that Sony saying, like
if you want to play ball,
that's Sony saying we got these couple things over here going on, and if you want to keep using Spider-Man, then we got this Venom thing, and we want him on the big stage.
Yeah,
and we'll get into it. Yeah. But I have a feeling I judging by that, I think I know where that character is going to go.
Okay.
Well, we'll get into it.
Before we get to all that, let's introduce ourselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Don't forget, shameless plugs, we're available wherever you get your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google. While you're there, be sure and follow us. Sure.
Do you still own stock in that?
Zune store?
I'm not really allowed to say because I can't, sway the market. But.
Sure. That makes sense. I'm with you.
Yeah, and he means that he can't.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. He is... unable. So while you're there, be sure and follow us so you never miss an episode. Check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/theclipout. /real spoilers. It's been a while since I did that. /real spoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. And don't forget our Patreon, patreon.com/real spoilers, where for $5 a month you get all sorts of bonus content and you help us out.
Yeah.
And we love you extra.
Yeah. So the one Halloween episode with Josh Bell is up there. And then, so I've recorded.
By the time this airs, the other one will be up too.
With Matt Basler?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that one is ready. I've actually already recorded the next one with Jason from Binge Movies. The special one that I didn't think I was going to get, but I did end up getting, was with author Dustin McNeil, who wrote Taking Shape 1 and Taking Shape 2. Would mm-hmm. take it. The first book is basically about the production of all of the Halloween movies up until 2018. The second book is about the unmade sequels from Halloween, and there are a lot, and they are bonkers.
That sounds fascinating.
So he and I talk about the unmade ones, some of the ones that could have been cool, some of the ones that don't make any sense whatsoever. So that one has been recorded as well. So that's all coming on Patreon.
Awesome. And also, don't forget the League of Show Sharers. If you would like to help the show out but don't have money, the easiest, nicest, most helpful thing you could do is share an episode in your Facebook or Twitter feed. So people that were kind enough to share an episode this week: David Rojas, Ralph Tribble, Librarian Cynthia, Julianne Jordan, Tammy Sherman Powers, Chris Falls, Heather Sachs, Gabriel Lugo, Chris Williams, Chris Wilson, Invasion of the Remake, Binge Movies, Ronnie Castle, In Session Films, Geek to Me Radio, Matt Neglia, Feelin' Film, Ryan Terry from the Forza Crowd Podcast, and Mike, and Oscar. So thank you very much, guys, for sharing an episode. We greatly appreciate it. So now without any further ado,
can we just do a live watch along of the Saints of Newark?
I would have much rather done the Saints Lord. Of Newark.
I liked it.
Did you get it?
Yeah.
I don't know how it has any value if you haven't seen The Sopranos. I liked it, but
I think it works as
it's so much fan service.
There is a lot of fan service.
And there's not really much of a narrative. It's like a lot of like, here, we're connecting dots.
Here's a grandpa. Here's a dad.
But here's the thing. I mean, having never seen the show, which, I mean, I watched like the first episode years ago. Like, I just didn't keep, my plan was to start it and gradually watch it and fell off the whatever. But I thought it was an interesting narrative, though. I really do, because I know Tony Soprano is like the big guy in the series, right?
Right.
So I think it's interesting to see him growing up, what his, I don't know if he's an inspiration, but the influences on him, and you know, him being a kid with his family in jail and all these uncles and people doing crime around him and him getting into trouble. And then I thought the Dickie character was really interesting. I liked that character a lot. So I know there was like, I even put in my review, it's clear there's fan service galore. Like, fans of the show will clearly love it because there's tons in there, but it never made me go, oh man, I'm so lost. Like,
sure.
I heard and saw the hints at fan service and was like, I'm sure people love this. And I was in it. Like, it was an interesting story. I liked the backdrop against the race riots. Like, I thought it was really interesting to see, like, that going on at the same time as these, you know, as these mob guys. And I don't know. It was just an interesting story. Good performances.
Did they upconvert that show for HBO Max? Because I know they did it with The Wire, where they put
show.
I think that was always
HD. Oh, was it?
It was shot like a film from the beginning. Yeah.
Sure.
So I don't think they had to do that.
No, because when I went back and watched the first episode, this is years ago, but I never was like me going back watching The Wire. I wasn't like, oh, this looks...
Man, The Wire looked real bad until they fixed it.
Looked like an old TV show.
Yes, it did. Yeah.
When I watched Sopranos, it was widescreen.
Oh, okay, cool.
But anyway, Many Saints in Newark, as someone that didn't watch it purposefully knowing it was coming out soon, I'm like, I'll just hold off. I enjoyed it, and then I think it's going to be interesting when I watch the show because I'm going to have all this extra knowledge people didn't.
Oh, that's true.
And know these characters.
Yeah, like it opens with a major spoiler for the series.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, just massive.
Can't really get around that one.
Yes.
But at this point, I'm just like, you know,
yeah,
I'm not. It's not a big deal.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Like, it's been out for 20 years.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, I can't blame exactly.
Yeah,
someone I think actually criticized them for that and was like mad about it. I'm like, I mean,
it's their own show. Like,
and you're going to see a Sopranos sequel. Like,
it's the same creator as the show, right?
Yes.
You know what you're getting into, and it's like you think they might not hint at anything that happens later. I don't know. Like, to me, it was I chose to watch the movie.
Yeah,
and plus, it's like, some of the things I know just because Sopranos was
so much in the pop culture.
Oh, yeah. It was the Game of Thrones of its time.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Are you telling me Darth Vader is Luke's dad?
Right.
Like, I mean,
bum, bum, bum.
There's certain things that if you had never seen something, you're just going to
You're
know.
Still going to know.
And so
absolutely.
I, yeah.
But I for me, I think the I don't think David Chase's storytelling lends itself to film.
And this would have been a great
pilot,
mini series.
This would have been a great
pilot.
Like, its biggest flaw is that there isn't another one next week.
Yeah.
Like,
ah.
I feel like it sets up a lot of stuff that it can't pay off because it's not a TV show. And
but
so,
the amount of story and character development that they did in 2 hours, I thought was really good. If you were going to cram that much stuff into 2 hours, to me, I was interested. I had never seen the stuff. So, like, you know, if it were poorly paced or confusing, I think I would have been completely lost.
Sure.
Like, this was terrible. It can't stand on its own. But the fact that I left there and I was like, yeah, this is a good mob movie. It just felt like a standalone gangster movie.
Haven't gotten one of those in a while.
It worked for me.
A good mobster movie.
It's getting mixed reviews, though. I wasn't sure how you... Brad loved it. He watched the show. You
liked
it.
Yeah, I liked it overall. Like I said, I think that there's so much story to tell and that they hint at that it's like, I feel like I want.
Maybe we will.
Well, based on the success of this, they might.
Yeah, I mean, just it's like, but it's going to be so long. Like, it's like I really feel like if they keep bringing it back, I like with all due respect to David Chase, I hope they bring it back as a TV show.
Sure.
And there should have been. I think this would have been so much better had it played out over 13 episodes.
Of course, yeah. You know? I agree. I think that would be my only complaint. Was it's like, well, yeah, give me more of this. This is great. I mean, John Bernthal's in there.
Man,
there's a lot of people really good. Yeah, he plays Tony's dad.
Can we? I feel like we have to talk about Venom.
Yeah,
as much as I don't want to.
Oh,
so
it's horrible. Like I did not like the first one, and I go, okay, there's no way it's as bad as the first one. I was, and then the Rotten Tomatoes scores came in. They started off at 69%, and then they went down to 57. Now it's back.
This is for part
58.
Two.
For part two.
Okay, yeah.
So I'm like, oh, well, at least this can be better than the first. This is not as well made a film as the first.
No, this is like, it's really weird because the first one was such a massive hit.
Yeah.
Even though I don't feel like it should have been, but it was.
No.
Why does this look and feel so much cheaper? The action scenes look, they're muddy. Like,
couldn't tell what was going
on. They're so dark. They might as well have been on the radio.
This felt like a film school project.
Yeah.
This was not
Andy,
a well made.
Andy Serkis cannot direct a movie.
Yeah.
So far he has.
The mocap is what it is. He's the master of the mocap.
His performance in his films
it,
is
it felt
brilliant.
Like there were five people in the whole movie.
Yeah.
Yep.
It was very contained. It felt very small.
And
yeah.
And Woody Harrelson's performance was straight
what is
out of
he
Batman
doing?
Forever.
Horrible.
Yes, this felt
that,
like...
I'm sorry, that is an insult to Batman
this
Forever.
This felt like a Joel Schumacher Batman movie.
Batman
or Robin.
Let's
How
talk
about
this for a second. Okay, so superhero movies can be campy, and they can own what they are and know what they're doing. Case in point, Batman Forever. Joel Schumacher set out to make a... response.
Hashtag release the Schumacher cut.
Tim Burton made these dark Batman movies that are obviously, the first one's incredible at least. People love the second one. And Joel Schumacher set out to do the camp and go back to the older comics and more of the kids movie and wacky and zany.
Nipples.
And it owns that tone. And I think the performances like from Carrie are incredible because he knows what movie he's in. He's
yes,
in
I would agree
movie.
With that completely.
This movie.
I'm going to be a second.
Okay, sure. This movie is so tonally awkward because it wants to be dark and gritty.
Yeah.
But then it wants to be ridiculous and campy. And I'm not saying all movies have to be serious. And I kind of took offense to, not personally, but I mean, not personally, but online. You know, we had some friends of the show that enjoyed the movie and then someone else responded, you know, paraphrasing, I don't get why everything has to be serious. Not all movies have to be serious. Now, hold up.
Yeah.
Like, we just watched Malignant and loved it. Movies do not have
to
be serious.
You loved it.
Well, movies do not have to be serious to be good. That is not how this works.
I think it depends on the superhero, right? Like, I think there are certain superheroes.
No, but.
You mean movies in general?
No, in general, we're talking about.
You, okay.
Movies do not have to be serious to be good. I love Batman Forever. I love Super Mario Brothers, the movie. I love Street Fighter, the movie. I love goofy movies that are just camp and, you know, that own what they're doing and the tone is consistent. The actors know what movie they're in.
Right.
But this movie has terrible writing.
Terrible.
Terrible. Terrible performances.
Yep.
Terrible camera work and CGI. This is horrible.
This is It was an assault on all of my senses. Yeah. Well, all of the ones that I would use to watch a movie, right?
Yeah.
I cannot believe, and I went back and rewatched the first one before I watched this, and I was like, okay, this is the epitome of big, dumb fun, right? Like, it's just a big, dumb,
yeah.
There's no point to it. I hate this characterization of Venom. I hate it.
Thank you. I want to talk about this because I remember 4 years ago talking about this in the first one. I don't want to like Venom.
Well, okay. So I will say in the comics, that character has gone through a lot of iterations, yeah. Right? The most notable is the demon monster that McFarlane created.
Right.
Dave Michelin, I think was the writer.
That sounds right. Dave Michelin.
Okay. So, and then as that character progresses, he kind of became super popular, right? So he gets his own comic book and he's kind of the lethal protector, which is what they allude to here. Then he becomes a straight up hero when Flash Thompson gets the symbiote and he becomes like a secret agent. Venom, you know, Agent Venom is kind of what he becomes. Then he becomes a space knight, right? So this character has gone through a bunch of different iterations, but he was always Spider-Man's biggest villain, right?
Right.
And not the Green, because he had all of Spider-Man's powers. Spider-Man couldn't defend.
He latches on to Eddie Brock, who hates Spider-Man.
It's both, right? It's the symbiote hates Peter Parker,
right?
Because he rejects him.
Yes.
He, being Peter Parker, rejects the symbiote.
Yes, and
Eddie Brock hates Peter Parker because he costs him his job and calls him out for being a cheater.
So they have that in common, and they bond.
Right, and so
we're going to
spoil it right now. Yeah. The end sequence of this movie, the post-credit sequence, is Eddie Brock on an island. There's a flash of yellow light, and all of a sudden, Eddie Brock is watching TV, and on the TV is...
J. Jonah Jameson
talking about Peter Parker as Spider-Man. What I think they're going to do is they're going to make him a villain, right? The way Venom reacts to Peter Parker on the TV with the tongue, like, that idea, I think that's where they're going.
I know, but I'm cringing at the fact of Venom being an MCU.
But if it's a different Venom, if this is an angry Venom, if he's the villain,
right? If we're gonna get actual Venom, but here's my point. So we talked about this, the reason why Venom's such a great villain, and the way it's so well written to be an enemy of Spider-Man and Peter Parker. But then this movie comes out, the first one, and then they have no Spider-Man, so they can't make it about that. And they introduce it as this guy that you're supposed to care for and to be a hero, not an anti-hero, but they want to make you like Venom.
Right.
I don't want to like Venom.
I don't want to like Venom.
Anti-hero is fine. Like, if he's biting off the heads of murderers, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I can get behind, like, okay, we talk about the one bad guy winning over worse bad guys, right?
Sure, so, it's a mobster movie, right?
I'm fine for rooting for Venom, but they are trying to make him, like, not kill anybody because we're supposed to like Eddie Brock. Like, Eddie Brock's a douche. Like, I don't want to like Eddie Brock. I don't want to like Venom. It's fine if they team up and they do their anti-hero stuff, and then we still root for Spider-Man to kick his ass. But
right.
I don't want this Venom and Eddie Brock that you're supposed to like. They're not...
No,
I hate the idea from the beginning.
I hate that I don't mind them talking, right? But, like, the fact that the symbiote is the comic relief...
I don't mind them talking, but the terrible script that they're using to talk.
I read a review where they said that the jokes feel like placeholders.
Yeah.
Sometimes when you write a script, you might plug in like a really lame joke
back around to that.
Joke goes here.
Right.
And we're gonna put
And then
it,
you
but,
improv and you find a
yeah,
few
variations. Or the writer writes.
Sure.
You know, but you come up with something better instead of just, you know, you go, girl, or whatever, and like, but they never got around to doing
that. That scene when the guy's like, they need therapy. It's like,
right, like,
what?
Yeah, there's a lot of lines like that where you're just like, but that's not funny.
And I have no problem with some kind of odd couple interaction between Eddie and Venom.
It's
but it wasn't well written.
It's all of me. Steve Martin, Lily Tomlin movie, which
really
one you should see.
Okay. They switched. Bodies? No.
Like she's really wealthy and she has a disease that's gonna kill her. It's a comedy, I swear. Hold on. And so she finds some mystic who's going to take her soul and place it in this young girl's body, and so she can continue to live. And And through comical happenstance, her soul is then placed into Steve Martin's body, and then he has to fight for control of his body because she wants to do one thing and he wants to do another.
Is he playing her, or how does that work?
So her soul is in his body, but so is his soul. Like, so the plan was, like, this girl has to commit suicide, and then they're going to place Lily Tomlin's soul in her body. But because of what happens, the soul ends up basically occupying a body that another soul is in. So, like, they're both kind
of... Like Malignant.
They're both kind of fighting for control of the body.
But so, how do they show it?
See Steve Martin, and whenever you see Lily Tomlin, it's like when he looks at his reflection, he'll see Tomlin, and that's how they talk to each other.
Does he have to portray Lily Tomlin?
Yes.
That's what I'm... Okay.
And it's... Yeah, there are times when she seizes control, and he's an attorney, and a lot of it was ripped off by Liar Liar.
Okay.
Oh, really? Yeah. That makes sense. I gotcha.
And so... Yeah. The first 20 minutes of this movie is all of me, but without the wit, charm, or comic
genius.
There's
nothing. There's nothing. You're totally right.
That's
about...
a great video recovery then, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, if you remember, if you've been listening this long, I mean,
Salt Mines.
It sounds like that is the movie that you should be watching if you like this concept, because I don't mind the concept at all, but it was so poorly executed.
Yeah.
It's
what's really... What I think the problem with this movie is ultimately, and it's why it will succeed...
Ugh. $90 million this weekend.
Is that what it made
for
real?
Support. $90 million.
I mean,
that is one of the biggest domestic openings.
That would have been a great opening for this movie in regular times.
No, that is an insane opening.
Yeah.
In the pandemic, $90 million domestic.
That's
just
crazy.
Blows my
and
mind.
I feel like what they did was they took the aspects of the first movie that we hated the most.
Yeah.
And made it the whole movie.
And they made it the whole movie. Yeah. And they jettisoned everything else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's what the people who loved it loved about it. And they're like, well, just give them more of that crap.
They moneyballed it.
Well,
they strategically formulated, right? Like, so it had nothing to do with making a good movie. Objectively,
right.
This is a terrible movie. But if you liked those parts from the first one,
just give them more of it.
You'll love the... Yeah.
It's crazy. I mean, Ruben Fleischer directed the first one.
Yeah.
And
that's
I think
Zombieland, dude, right?
I believe you're right. Okay. Yeah. And I think those movies are fantastic.
I like Zombieland.
One and
movies,
two
yeah.
are both insanely
Two's not as good,
good
as one, but it's solid.
I think it's on par. It's not at, you're right. It's probably not as good, but I think it's as far
solid.
As sequels go.
It's,
yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we won't talk about Gangster's Paradise.
I'm still, I just remembered when Thomas Middleditch, when they have like analogs of the of the characters.
And Luke Wilson,
right? Oh my gosh, that was funny.
I see the scene all the time of what's her name's daughter, like they think she's turning into a zombie in the van.
Oh,
and they
yeah.
have that discussion like in the van where I like that. That's a very funny movie. But so he does that first one and he brings a certain his certain style to that movie,
certain
and it works. That's what I was gonna say, but I didn't want to be that guy. So thank you for being.
Well,
that
I
guy.
Just saw Titan.
Oh yeah, how was that?
It's good. I'd much rather talk about that for
Is
an
it
hour.
A body horror movie?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd much rather talk about that. That's the thing that's frustrating is it's like, okay, this
there's
movie
two
made,
other there's two other options well, that we could have picked.
This movie makes $90 million. It's the biggest movie, clearly going to be the most discussed. Like, I totally get why we're reviewing it. But people that love Venom are going to hate that we hated it and get nothing out of it.
They're going to say we're snobs.
Right.
And
the people that don't like Marvel or any superhero movies are going to go, yeah, of course it sucked. We always knew it would. Like, I don't get any...
Yeah.
Point.
No, there's
doing,
no.
You know what I mean? Like,
we're a lose lose right now.
That's why it sucks so bad. Is we have to spend an hour talking about this movie when there's stuff out there that's so original and creative, and this is so trash. But like, if you like it, that's great. Like, no offense meant. Like, if you enjoy this, everyone enjoys movies that other people don't. That's fine. But I just mean objectively critiquing this movie, I feel like is a lose lose. But
it's terrible. When the opening credits happened, I was like, okay. I think I can get down on this. And then about 20 minutes, I was like, fuck,
spoke too
no,
soon.
I
that's
did.
For sure.
It's
so,
so
Eddie Brock is doing his
he's back to doing
stuff.
But like, so yeah. So he has a run in with Cletus Cassidy at the end of the first one. And that's like kind of the big reveal is that Carnage is coming.
Nice. They gave him a haircut before the second movie.
Very nice. Yeah. They totally new outfit and you know, but yeah, so he's working with Al Capone, who the only reason that's the only thing I remember that actor from who he played Al Capone on Boardwalk Empire.
Ah,
Stephen Graham.
He's great. He's actually really good. So, yeah, like I guess they're working together, and Cletus Cassidy has said that he only wants to talk to Eddie Brock.
He only wants to talk to Eddie Brock for no reason whatsoever. None.
Why?
Like, in the way they portray Eddie Brock, I don't believe this chooch could write his own name, let alone an article for a newspaper.
That's the thing, is like in the comics, he's not a writer. He's a photographer.
Right.
And he's a bad one, right? Yeah. Like, he's the one, like, the reason he gets fired from the Daily Bugle.
Because the whole thing is it parallels Peter Parker, right?
Correct.
Like, he's the anti-Peter Parker.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And he doctors some photos. As garbage as Spider-Man 3 is, they get the origin of Eddie Brock spot on.
As close as they can without having a Secret Wars.
Correct.
Yes.
Spider-Man 3 is leaps and bounds better than this Venom Venom Let There Be Carnage.
I was begging for somebody to dance in this movie.
So the Sam Raimi,
I should have peed during the whole movie.
Sam Raimi is an auteur. And if you look at those Spider-Man movies, there is a director. There's a style and a vision all over them, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
I mean,
absolutely.
As good as a lot of other superhero movies have been, Marvel movies can feel kind of the same. I'm not saying there's no auteurs behind it, but, you know, sometimes they can feel a little bit the same with their big CG
action
sequence.
The
MCU
is
blah,
a producer's
blah, blah.
Medium.
Yeah.
It's the producer
and
auteur.
And they're great blockbuster films. But
you know what I will say, though? I wonder if Multiverse of Madness is going to look different.
Right, it should.
I mean,
it's
Sam Raimi, right?
I think it will.
If you're hiring him, you're not going to be able to be like, don't do your crazy, wacky close-ups and Dutch tilts.
Oh,
like,
they better. That's Sam Raimi. There has to be those shots. So Spider-Man 3, at least, for even if there is some silly stuff that doesn't work near as well as the second film or even the first one,
second one's almost a perfect movie.
That movie, the third one, still has, I think, a lot of things to appreciate, and I enjoy it. And again, leaps and bounds over these movies.
Yeah. And Topher Grace, fine, whatever. I will say he's a better Venom than Venom.
Talk about silly campy stuff. I mean, Spider-Man 3 and Sam Raimi's humor sensibilities, that's what he's doing is campy silliness.
The biggest problem with that movie is the whole dance scene.
That's not a very large part of the movie.
It's not, though.
So
like,
but
if you go back,
it colors the whole film.
It changes it completely.
It's a shame.
If you were to watch that, because I did watch that, I don't know, like a year ago. If you take that out, the whole thing where he's the finger guns and the thing inside the jazz
Saturday
bar.
Night Fever
he's
walk.
Supposed to be a douche.
If you, t-
I mean,
which is fine.
Like
yeah.
It's
yeah.
What he was
but if you
to-
take that out, it's a very different movie.
Yeah.
That scene does color that entire movie in a bad way. Much like the entire 90 minutes of this movie color it as an awful movie. Yeah.
But you're right, though. The Eddie Brock, he completely nails the whole point of it, where Eddie Brock hates Peter Parker and Venom hates Peter Parker.
Right.
And they come together, and that's why they bond. They share that hatred of Peter Parker / Spider-Man, and makes for the perfect villain, the perfect nemesis. Those two, I mean, it's just such
a
great...
That's the other thing is, like, this character needs Spider-Man.
Yes.
Like,
we've been saying that since
the look doesn't make sense. Like, why would he... That was the whole idea.
Why would he
of,
look like a Spider-Man?
Why would he look like Spider-Man without having Spider-Man to look like? Yeah. Right, like he was always the anti-Spider-Man. He's bulkier and bigger, and
we get why. I mean, we get that Marvel had licensed the rights to Spider-Man, so they couldn't do it. Like, I get their reservations behind it, but it doesn't stop it from lacking those things.
Yeah,
that would
then
make
you
it
need
better.
To give us some sort of insight as to why all that's occurring.
But then you look at that. I mean, I don't know if you've seen the Morbius trailer.
No, I don't want to either.
Here's what I will say. That trailer looks fine. I'm not saying the movie's going to be good. I'm saying the trailer looks fine. But in that trailer, Morbius is walking down the street, and there's a picture of Spider-Man, like, on a wall. So it's like, what universe is that in? Because it's the Sam Raimi
suit. Oh, okay. I was going to say, but they can use Spider-Man now because Sony and Marvel worked things out.
Right,
you know, like,
right.
Whatever.
But I think, was it Michael Caine? Michael Keaton? Yeah, shows up at the end of something. He's in Morbius.
He's in Morbius.
That's the thing. That's what it is. He's in Morbius.
Because they're
just
all
like, so.
But that's the thing. They're in the same thing now.
They are.
They license Spider-Man so they can do that. Okay, so he gets this story because the detective guy wants him to go talk to Cletus, and then while he's there, Cletus,
the slack-jawed yokel.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Woody Harrelson. I'm glad he got paid. I'm glad he got paid for this. He clearly. I mean, my impression is that he did not memorize any lines and was reading off a cue card.
He's pulling a Brando.
Yes.
Except Brando pulled it off.
But that exactly reminded me of Brando, though. He says, like, one word or two words at a time. Yeah. Like, he memorized, he looked at the thing, said the two words, looked again. Like, it was, his performance is so bad.
It's real bad. And I think he's a really good actor. I think
Yeah,
right.
Woody Harrelson's
yeah.
good,
and Tom Hardy is good, and
it's this movie.
I'm starting to forget that Tom Hardy is good.
He is kind of on an Idris Elba train right now, where Idris Elba was like dud after dud after dud, and you're like, brother, do something else.
Yeah,
like come on.
Although it's almost the worst of both worlds. He's in a bad movie that makes a ton of money.
I know, right?
And so
right,
now
right.
he's like, going to perpetuate.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah. So Cletus talks to Brock. And because Eddie is such a garbage ass reporter, Venom, the symbiote, has to take notice of all of the notes.
Venom's
that are
a genius. Can we, like, Venom is.
I mean, he, yeah. Yes. Yeah. But he's, whatever.
But yeah, Eddie, like, yeah, we see movies where, let's say, like, Lois Lane's this great journalist, and she gets all this
info. Pulitzer Prize winning author.
Yeah, she gets all this info, and she's so good at her job. And then you have Eddie Brock.
She also has to tinkle.
Just tinkle,
well,
yeah.
Yeah, we all do it. And so Eddie doesn't do crap, and basically, you know, Cletus isn't giving him much info, but Venom sees as they're walking out this wall that Cletus for years has been scratching all these pictures into and everything. And so they get back to the apartment, and Venom possesses Eddie's body. And this went way too long.
This
he just
some
scribbles
goofy
page after page after page of this possession type drawing of super sped up sketching powers. And
it's not as bad as the
there's
super
a version
amnesia
of this
kiss
that could have worked, but the way that they show it is like ridiculous.
That's what I mean as far as the filmmaking.
I honestly couldn't tell like was that supposed to be funny.
I thought that it was supposed to be funny.
I
think they're playing most of this for laughs. Oh my gosh, he's writing super fast.
Oh.
And he can draw.
He can't stop.
And he can draw with both hands.
Yeah.
It's really funny then.
It's super funny.
Yeah. My bad.
So he ends up seeing all these clues, and Venom's like, look closer.
Yeah.
Look
he's like,
closer.
Oh. And then that's the reveal is that Cletus
is
had been drawing where the bodies were.
Yeah, the detective wants him to find out before he's executed. Or no, he's not executed at this point, but whatever. Find out for the families and the victims and all that stuff. Like, where are the bodies hidden? And so Venom draws this. Well, Eddie draws this thing on top of a clear sheet and he puts it on a computer.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, it's
here.
It's
good
here.
Thing they took that picture from the exact right angle.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like
you take that picture
like
you take that picture of a hill from 20 degrees to the left, and
you got nothing.
Cletus had to stand in this exact spot. Remember that photographic view, recreate it through prison wall sketch drawings, and then they went on the internet and found that exact angle.
Right. Yeah.
And then put it on top.
Ta-da, I found it.
That's just stupid.
It is real stupid.
But the whole movie's stupid. So, like, that does exist in this stupid universe. You know what I mean? Like, if you're going to nitpick anything, it's like, well, yeah, it's about as dumb as everything else.
No, that tracks with this entire movie. That makes total
sense. So they go there, but now, like, they have not had an execution for decades here. And now, because of the mass
found
grave
the bodies.
They found, they're going to execute Cletus. So
here's
now,
the thing, is that Carnage was introduced as, like, Venom turned up to 11,
right?
He's a homicidal maniac, and he's got this red symbiote. I did like, that's the only line of this movie that I liked, and where Venom goes away, he's like, oh, no, that's a red one. Like, I'm not, no, thank you. I want nothing to do with that.
I wish we learned more about that, because I was like, well, that's interesting.
Clearly it means something.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
no
right.
reason
if you're,
to tell the audience.
If you're referencing that Venom, this character, knows that the red ones are bad.
Tell us more about the red symbiotes and how they're so different than the black ones that do want to still come to Earth and chop people's head off and murder people.
Right.
Like, remember, Venom is not a good entity.
No.
Like, stop trying to make us love Venom. He's a bad thing. He's a bad person.
I think if it's somebody else, like I said, there's a great comic by Rick Remender and Tony Moore, I think, did one where he's a secret agent, right? Like, Agent Venom. It's a really fun story. There's one where he's part of the Guardians of the Galaxy, where he's got a completely different look, and he's the Venom the Space Knight. But and then the story that they just wrapped up by Donny Cates and Ryan Stegman, he's back to being big bulky Venom, but they give a backstory as to, like, there's a lord of the symbiotes, and this is like the big bad guy that Venom has to fight, right? And this guy is coming to Earth, and he's going to take over the Earth.
Yeah, tell us that story. Let Venom, like, face off against the bad symbiotes and stuff. Venom face the bad guys. Stop trying to make Venom be a hero and not chop the heads off criminals and stuff. Like, let's not focus on Eddie Brock being like, no, you can't kill, we're good. Like, no, just let us have Venom face worse bad guys.
Eddie Brock is like, in the comics, right? In the comics I've read since Amazing Spider-Man 296, Eddie Brock has wanted to kill people.
Yes.
Right?
Eddie Brock's not a good guy. No. That's what I'm saying. You're not supposed to like him.
I will say, in the Donny Cates, Ryan Stegman book, he is kind of, he walks that, with the heart of gold. Yeah. So, like, he walks that line and does it really well.
But here he's not even a, he's just, you're supposed to love Eddie Brock. Yeah. Eddie Brock is the lovable, I won't say loser, but he's kind of an outcast, and you want him to succeed at his job and get the girl. Michelle Williams is in this again.
Yeah, I don't know how they got her to come back.
Do we need to guess the number?
Yeah. Right. How many zeros behind?
Yes. Well, it was probably a multi-picture deal when she signed on.
Probably, that's true.
On movies like this, they don't sign anybody up for one movie anymore.
Yeah, so Cletus hates Eddie Brock now because he basically ended his life. There is a backstory where Cletus has a girlfriend that he met in the mental institution.
Screech?
Yeah. Is it Screech?
No, that's the guy from Saved by the Bell.
Shriek. Well, yeah, Shriek. Thank you. I don't think that's
also had a comic book at one point. You know,
yeah.
Like,
that's cool that they, I mean, are still interesting.
I'm almost positive the cop is Toxin, who's another symbiote.
Okay.
Like, I think that's who he's supposed to become.
Okay.
If we get a Venom 3.
But anyway, so he's mad because now he's going to be killed, and he, you know, broke him up with the love of his life, Shriek, and that's Naomi Harris, who plays Shriek, who is...
Why should I know who that is?
Yeah. She's been in a ton of stuff. I don't know. I'm just looking. Moonlight, 28 Days Later, Skyfall, Collateral Beauty. I don't know. She's...
Oh.
You'd know her if you...
Is she Moneypenny?
Yeah, she's Moneypenny. Yeah. That's where you know her.
Yeah. Okay.
So yeah, you know her. And she was in Pirates of the Caribbean. She was like the
lady. Yeah. She's the one that had a relationship with Jack Sparrow.
She's been in a ton of stuff. But anyway, so she plays Shriek, and so they're broken apart, and so he's mad at him for that. And anyway, he goes, he has one last chance, the detective says, to like go talk to him and get the last story and any other information out of him. So he puts the recorder down, starts talking to him, and
Venom like gets a hold of him first.
Well, Venom
like
starts,
Venom attacks.
Eddie Brock starts, what does he say? I can't even remember.
Cletus basically starts running him down about why Michelle Williams left him. And then Venom attacks and pulls him close.
Cletus knew about Michelle Williams?
I think so. Does it matter?
He
makes a lot of comments.
He antagonizes him for some reason. And then Venom like goes crazy because Eddie's always fighting for control of his body. And so he starts to go attack Venom. And then
Cletus bites.
Oh,
Eddie.
Cletus bites him, and so his blood, or the Venom symbiote, gets into Cletus's bloodstream.
Right,
and then this is where you get a wacky.
I will say, I did like the way Carnage looked. Like, I thought I thought he looked cool.
It's cool, red Venom.
Yeah, right.
I mean,
basically,
cool.
Right.
But anyway, so Cletus is like, oh, Eddie's got secrets.
You don't. I've never tasted blood.
I've tasted blood before, and this ain't it.
So they put Cletus to death, and the symbiote says, no, thank you, and stops the whole thing.
Like, rejects the stuff going into the body and, like, pushing it back out and exploding everything.
And then we get Carnage.
Yeah.
And
at one point, don't worry, he does say, let there be Carnage.
Yeah, I think he says it more
twice.
Yeah, right. And I will say, the only advantage this movie has is it's an hour and a half.
Yeah, it is short.
And it feels every second of an hour and a half.
Yeah, it didn't feel that short. You know, when you're watching a good movie and you're like, oh man, it's over already.
Yeah.
Like this movie, I was like, well, it's only an hour and a half. And I got to the end of
it.
It felt like
an hour and a half.
Yeah.
So now Eddie goes to see Michelle Williams. And she, you know, Michelle Williams is engaged.
The
and then she, like,
Dan, I don't know. Who.
Yeah, why do I give a shit about Dr.
I don't,
Dan?
Why did they even introduce a new character like that?
To make him, like, a hero in the movie.
It was stupid.
It's not one thing where he's just, like, the doofy new fiance. Like, he becomes an integral part of the climax of this movie.
But why? Why was this extra character even needed? I don't understand, just to have a reason for Michelle Williams and Eddie Brock
not to
be together.
Well, that's the thing. You've already introduced the other symbiote, right? Like, the other cop is another offshoot of Venom. So why not just let him be that character? Like, you don't need this regular human.
Yeah.
Right? If you want to introduce the cop who is on a mission to take down Cletus Cassidy, and you're going to say he's going to be a new symbiote, let them team up together and let them both take out the one thing they're both targeting to take out. Yeah. Like, it doesn't make any sense to introduce this doofus ass Dr. Dan for no reason.
I think it's just to make him, like, more sympathetic. Like,
who,
oh,
Eddie?
She's moved on. What am I going to do?
Yeah, that's that sad sap, we want to love Eddie Brock, lovable loser type thing. He's lost the girl. He's struggling to do his reporting.
Also, Michelle Williams is kind of a bitch.
Why is that?
When she's like, she shows Eddie the ring, right? So you're going to sit down with your ex-boyfriend who you know still has feelings for you, and you're going to be like, by the way.
Well, she wanted to tell him in person. That was the whole point.
Totally fair. And then
and also, he lies to her about Venom, so she feels betrayed. I think that.
But when she's like, can you just be happy for me? And it's like, can you give the guy kind of a break? Like, you did drop a bomb on him.
I get it. Watching it felt harsh as well, but I also feel like there's a reason they're not together, and she was betrayed, and so I think that she cares about him, but she's been through all this. Like, I don't know. I can see both sides of it, kind of. But yeah,
I hate this scene. I don't like anything about it.
It's dumb. Michelle Williams didn't even need to be in the movie. Seriously, there's so many other.
Do you think that in her contract she's like, you know, I'm going to wear that suit, right?
I thought that was at least cool that she got to
do it again, right? Because she wore it in the first one, didn't she?
Oh, I don't remember.
I think
that
she does.
I don't remember
I feel like she wears it in this one. She's like, oh yeah, that was cool. I didn't want to get that back or something.
I don't think it's that noble of an endeavor. I think it's they can sell action figures of a girl.
There's also it's on a cover of a comic like that. There's a female Venom that looks like that. So Cletus breaks out his girlfriend. She's almost got a mutant power where she can do the Banshee scream. Like, that's basically what her mutant power is.
Now, I thought that was actually a really interesting concept, though, that so Cletus is in love with this woman who her ability counteracts any of these symbiotes.
Correct.
So I feel like that's really cool that he has to struggle between, like, the love of his life, but then Carnage obviously hates the love of his life.
Right.
So there is an interesting
thing
there.
But then they try to make Cletus sympathetic. Right? Like, towards the end of this movie, they're like, he's like, no, don't hurt her. It's like, what? What is happening? Both of you don't get to be heroes at the end of this movie.
I know.
That's not how this works.
That's probably why they shouldn't have introduced a love interest for Cletus. He's supposed to be this homicidal maniac. They show you in flashbacks that he kicked his grandma down the stairs and killed his family and all this stuff.
I will also say, when you cast an actor as recognizable as Woody Harrelson, an actor who we saw in the same time period as these flashbacks.
Sure.
You know, he was a major known commodity in real, you know, Woody Harrelson, the actor, was in the same time period as these flashbacks.
Right.
That guy looked nothing like him.
Hey, I forgot in the beginning.
But guess
did.
What? He sounded like him.
They dubbed the voice.
They did.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's abysmal.
That was so uncanny. I totally forgot they had a different actor play him, and then Woody Harrelson did the voice. It was horrible.
There's got to be somebody you can find that looked more like him.
But that was like the first scene in the movie. It started off like that, basically.
Yeah.
And you knew what you were in for.
So it is kind of cool to see Ravenscroft, which is basically the Arkham Asylum of the MCU or the Marvel comics.
Were there Easter eggs in there? Who was the guy that yelled at them as they were walking?
No idea.
Home? Okay.
No.
I thought they were maybe planting some more seeds for characters.
I don't think so, because there was no, like, he was pretty he was just a chubby bearded guy. Like, there was no nameplate or anything.
Okay.
If you're in a scene like that, you kind of have to put, like, a nameplate.
Yeah.
Like, you know, J. Crane or, you know.
I was just wondering. I thought, oh man, they've got to be putting some kind of.
I mean,
maybe he's just a rando villain.
I think they're too dumb for their own good to try to sneak some stuff in there. So they being Cletus and Shriek go back and destroy the.
Well, before that, let's talk about. I mean, the whole the conflict in the movie is that Eddie and Venom just can't get along. Venom only wants to bite the heads off people, and Eddie won't even let him bite the heads off criminals now, right, which again, right. Like anti-hero, you get it. Like if you're going to have Venom and be more true to the character and have him at least being an anti-hero and stopping these criminals, have him do this vigilante justice, do it in his own way. It's not legal, but like that's Venom, right?
They're
like,
bad guys.
He's chopping the heads off bad guys. They're terrible. You know what I mean? I mean, this is a movie. Like I totally get, oh, it's not legal. That's not right. Or this is a movie and this is an alien.
This is a character. This is a universe that has the Punisher in it.
Yeah.
You
so
know, like, yeah. So
make Venom the anti-hero, but no, Eddie is stopping him from even stopping the bad guys basically. And so they just cannot get along, and he wants Venom to eat chicken. And whatever.
Yeah, the only thing that keeps, like, the thing that Venom needs to survive is in chickens and chocolate.
Yeah.
And human brains. That's it.
I think it's in
chickens
brain.
And chocolate. It's, feed him Cadbury eggs.
I think what he needs is in brains. And so chicken,
is that what it is?
So he's getting them from chickens. And that's why Venom's like, but chickens are stupid, so their brains aren't that good of a resource. And then so, yeah, he goes to the convenience store owner from the
Just
first
Just feed
one.
The guy a brain sandwich. Those exist. Those yeah. are real things.
What?
Yeah, you ever yeah. heard of a brain sandwich? Cow, it's cow's brain.
Cow brains, yeah. Oh. And I mean, nobody wants it.
Yeah.
Like, it'd be well, easy yeah. to get.
Stock
Gross.
Up, there you go. So
actually, I think they stopped doing it post-Mad Cow. They're like, yeah, we should probably fit. Yeah. Well, quit that, feeding people this.
That should make it even easier yeah, to right, find. That's right, right? That's now right. they've got all these brains they're throwing away.
Cletus and Shriek burn down the orphanage or, like, home that they stayed in as kids together because, cool, I guess. And then, so...
But Venom and Eddie split up.
Yes, Venom.
They actually right. split up. So that's the conflict, is he actually leaves him, not just the whole time before this, he's out of his body, but he actually separates. They have this big fight with each other in the apartment and breaking all this stuff, and then he starts hopping from body to body, and he's out of there.
So why, but why are the bodies deteriorating? Why didn't Eddie's deteriorate? Like, those bodies are just collapsing and dying.
They're not a match. That's the thing.
Is that what it is?
He's only bonded with Eddie. They're
like they're not strong enough to.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. I was like, well, that seems kind of like a plot hole that Eddie's the only one that can.
No, until, that's the point.
Eddie's the only Eddie one until Venom, he gets a hold of Peter Parker.
That they even talk about this too, that everyone else rejected Venom, and Eddie and Venom are a match. So that's why they.
Okay.
Coexist.
Okay. Okay.
So he starts going from body to body looking for a new host, but you know he's just doing a stuff by stuff, very small things, and then the person throws him up or whatever.
Basically, what happens is Miss Chen gets the Venom symbiote, and Michelle Williams, Eddie gets arrested for, I don't know.
See, I feel like that kind of makes sense too. Why Venom would match with Miss Chen, because she's a very like angry, not
yeah.
really a good person type of. I think she has qualities that match
sure,
with Venom,
sure.
right? Just like Eddie does, that they try not to show us in these movies because they want you to love him. But like, if Eddie Brock was angry and hates Spider-Man and is this terrible person, like you can see why Venom would match with him.
Miss, so yeah, right,
with him and with Miss Chen, like right. those are the qualities that Venom can, you know,
get around, yeah. right? So Michelle Williams becomes Eddie's lawyer. He realizes he needs Venom because he's got to go fight Cletus, Carnage. So she goes to see Mrs. Chen. It's become very obvious that Mrs. Chen has the symbiote.
It's the eyes that give it away.
It is the eyes that give it away. You
she
can't really
Venom
eyes. Yeah, Venom eyes. Michelle Williams goes back to the police station, makes kind of a joke as she suits up into looking like the female Venom, gives Eddie the symbiote back. They make amends and they go fight in the most cluster ending sequence I've ever seen.
The CGI is
so bad. It's Transformers level bad.
Another battle in a bell tower.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
There's a big fight, and this is the only line that I do like, where Venom sees Carnage for the first time. He was like, no, thank you. I want nothing to do with that.
Wait a minute. You skipped over your favorite line in the movie, though, because I'm a real boy. You're just a parasite.
Is that what he says? I literally, man, like,
Eddie
I
tuned gets on
out,
his motorcycle,
blocked
when he's,
it out,
like sad yeah, against Venom, yeah. and says, "Because I'm a real boy."
Ugh,
it's so,
with a side of ugh.
Yeah, I know it's so bad,
so bad,
and not even bad in a good way. Like he says it so seriously. It's not tongue in cheek. It's not. It's like it's said dramatically. It's,
right.
It was the script is cringeworthy. Seriously, like,
yes, I would agree.
That is cringe is a great word to describe it. It's not. In a fun tongue-in-cheek way throughout. It is all like you're trying to take this movie way too seriously and the tone is jarring from the movie that you're in.
Yes.
And it doesn't work.
No, it doesn't work. So here we are in the bell, like Tom said, in the church bell tower again.
Because Cletus and girlfriend.
They've kidnapped the cop. That we've seen this entire movie because
there's a flashback. Cletus's girlfriend was when she was being captured. The police had her in the back of a truck, and to escape, she used her shriek powers, and it damaged this young cop's eardrums, and he ended up shooting her.
Her in the face and killed her.
Well, through her eye. He did, but he thought she was dead, but he shoots her in the eye. She falls off the back of the truck. We'll come to find out she's got a glass eye. She's still alive, and that cop is the detective that he's
correct.
Working with.
Dun, dun, dun.
So they capture him, and then they capture Michelle Williams so that they can get to both of them, and then they have the big showdown at the church because Shriek and Cletus are going to get married,
right?
And they want to draw them in and kill them at the event, and then
chaos ensues. Big old fight. They kill everybody, right? Venom kills Cletus,
but not the father,
right?
Can't kill the father,
but he eats his head. So that's
every time at the end of the movie.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't
because I mean I feel like I would like a little bit of time to think of what could this movie look like when we get to the MCU.
So Carnage.
Isn't
as nice as Venom because, you know, they've made Venom pretty nice guy. That's pretty restrained in these movies. So Carnage is just out there doing his namesake and being crazy. And so Shriek uses her power once, and we see Carnage say, "She does that again, I'm going to kill her." Yeah. And Cletus is like, "Oh, God." And then so she does it again when she's fighting Venom and these other people. And so Carnage is like, "Okay, that's enough." And he goes to kill her. And then there's this moment where Cletus, like you said earlier, Joe, is like, "No, you can't do that." And then so they start pulling apart, like Cletus, because I guess he gains a conscience and has this love for Shriek. It separates him from the symbiote, and it starts pulling apart.
Right. And then Venom grabs a hold of Cletus and bites his head off.
Well, at the very end after they save the day.
Yeah, but I mean, whatever.
He still gets his brain.
How do they defeat Carnage? I don't even remember.
Sound and fire?
Dr. Dan sets some stuff on fire.
They fire bazookas? I don't know. Like, it's so stupid. I mean, I don't care.
It was just a big cluster.
I don't care.
That's how much we all, none
like,
of
it's
us
so,
remember.
It's so bad. Like, this movie's so bad. Yeah. So this is what I think is going to happen. We know that Loki has kind of broken the multiverse in the Loki TV show. We know that the multiverse of madness is coming. So like we said in the beginning,
Spider-Man is this Christmas, so that's clearly going to deal with a lot of the multiverse stuff.
Correct. Yeah. That's what I knew there was something coming. You're right.
And I saw the trailer. I tried not to watch it before this, and I'm like, "Oh, okay, that's what they're doing."
Yeah.
So.
Right.
So it's not really Loki, it's Doctor
We don't
Strange
know, right?
That
like
opened
the,
it up.
But Loki definitely opens it up too. Like if you've watched that show,
but it seems like they're directly. You're talking about how Venom and all this is going to tie in. What looks like it was Doctor Strange was responsible
I'm
for
not
that.
Sure, that's our Doctor Strange.
Well, right.
We'll see.
That's to
we'll
be
see.
Determined.
We'll
but
see.
Anyway, so I avoided that all this time. I'm like, oh, so now I know the whole plot of the.
So Eddie's on an island. He's the lethal protector with Venom. Now they're going to be like, you know, Kane from Kung Fu, and they're just going to go wherever
he's actually the lethal protector.
Sure.
Right? Like,
it
how
could
about
be anything
that,
else, but this piece
How about that Venom movie? That's what I'm saying. Like, why not actually give us that?
I don't know. Because they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
It's Sony.
Yeah.
Sony has screwed the pooch
with
Spider-Man.
Tied. Sony only has so many rights. So I think that they're so pigeonholed. It's really a mess with what they can do.
Yeah.
And they still want to make $90 million opening weekend.
I mean, yeah, if it's making
that
kind of money. Right.
So they're not going to be like, "Well, we don't have enough things to make a really great movie. We're just going to not make hundreds of millions." Like, no, it's like they've got this and they're milking it for everything it's worth.
We've got
and it's working.
And it's working.
And we've got Morbius. Like, that's, you know.
If you're one of the suits, you don't read the reviews, you read the box office.
Do they own Spider-Woman?
I think so.
Okay.
I think they own everything related to Spider-Man.
In some form, right? Because, I mean, I guess you're probably right.
No, I mean, Marvel has to license Spider-Man from them.
That's
they own everything
that's
Spider-Man.
So anything in that spider universe. So
is
like,
Kraven.
Oh, there is a Kraven movie, isn't there? In the works, I think.
I think so. But yeah, they own all that.
Okay.
Morbius is a Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
That's why you were going to get a Sinister Six movie.
They tried.
Yeah.
Thank God that didn't happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Multiverse's madness has come, or Spider-Man, whatever
depends
this
what
is.
Depends what deals they work out. If Marvel really wants to get Spider-Man, they may have to
make some concessions. Yeah. Yeah, so he ends up on the island. Venom says, let me tell you about my world. And he was like, okay, cool. Big flash of yellow light. Eddie doesn't know what's going on. The symbiote doesn't know. Venom doesn't know what's going on. The TV turns on. There is J.K. Simmons as the MCU J. Jonah Jameson. And then we see Tom Holland as Spider-Man on TV. And there's a moment where Venom is like, And like, there's the big tongue that goes around the TV screen, which is very reminiscent of the McFarlane, Eric Larson way that that tongue works.
But why does this Venom care about Spider-Man?
Right.
So what I think they're going to do is somehow these two characters are going to interact. Venom is going to realize that Peter Parker is the better option, right, for Eddie Brock.
He's going to reject him.
And he's going to reject Eddie. He's going to bond with Peter. We're going to get the traditional black suit, right, with a big yellow or the big white.
Right.
You know, the big white eyes, the big white spider, the gauntlets, all that stuff.
That's the reason why Venom is supposed to look like
correct.
Venom.
Correct. and then I think Peter Parker's going to, and then we're going to do the traditional story, right, where Peter Parker realizes what's going on. He's going to reject Venom. Venom realizes that the only person that he can work with now is Eddie. But now Venom has all of Spider-Man's powers. Mm-hmm. He has all of Peter Parker's memories. And then we're going to get traditional at some point.
But
I don't know.
Where is this going to happen?
I don't know. Spider-Man 4.
Okay.
That's the only option they have.
So I'm like,
really?
I can't imagine that's part of any of these stories. Like, MCU is already set with their storyline.
I have to believe it's Spider-Man 4.
Yeah.
Let there be.
Or Venom 3.
Or Venom 3. I guess that's possible,
right,
too.
Because it would make more sense, I think, if Spider-Man were kind of a side character in the next Venom movie so that you could focus on redoing the Venom storyline.
Sure, sure.
You know? I don't know. But I think if they get Tom Holland Spider-Man in there to not be the main character but to be in a good amount of it so that Venom can play off of him and then do his thing and then build up the relationship we're looking for between these two.
Yeah, that's what I think is going
to happen. That'd be the way to course correct. I think that's great.
If it happens, Disney, you heard it here first. First.
But it's just so arbitrary.
It really is.
Oh, Spider-Man's on the TV. This is what I care about now.
Right.
That's what's frustrating. I get what you're saying, Joe, and that has to be down the line. Maybe that happens. But again, why was Venom drawn to Spider-Man all of a sudden?
I don't know.
It was weird.
Yeah, when he was like, this guy. What?
Yeah, it's like, what? He just showed a picture of a kid in a Halloween costume.
And you don't even know what he can do. Right.
It makes no sense.
And so that's the weird part, right? Is because even before we get to the multiverse thing, there's a scene where Eddie Brock is looking at a paper in his universe, and it says the Daily Bugle on it.
He works for the Daily Bugle.
So does that mean that Peter Parker doesn't exist in Venom's world?
No, he doesn't. He was just brought into it. That's the spoiler of this mid-credit scene.
No.
The Flash happened, and Venom was brought into the
MCU
timeline.
I think it's weird to have all of these elements of Spider-Man, like the Daily Bugle and Venom and Eddie Brock and whoever, but no, like
in that timeline,
there's no Peter Parker
for the Bugle, or there was not a Spider-Man in his timeline. That's what they're doing. To finish that out, that Flash of Light was whatever happened to screw up the multiverse,
right?
And so Eddie Brock and Venom were brought into it because he's in this hotel room on this island, and after that some guy comes in and is like, why are you in my room? Well, when it started the scene, that was Eddie's room, so clearly he's been brought in. That's to show
I got one better.
Yeah,
all right. Mm-hmm. what if there's a different Eddie Brock in the current MCU, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he looks like Arnold Schwarzenegger. He looks like the traditional version of Eddie Brock.
Yeah.
And the symbiote, right, who has already bonded with Eddie Brock, is like, hey, you might be better. You might be more adept to eating villains' heads and eating brains.
Oh, they'll never get rid of Tom Hardy at this point.
Tom Hardy might be like, nah.
But Venom looks like Arnold Schwarzenegger. I mean, he's big. He's way bigger than Tom. They've already fixed that by somehow when he bonds with him, it becomes huge.
It's only a matter of time. I mean, if the rumors are to be true and there are three Spider-Men in this new Spider-Man movie, it would only lend to reason that there could be two Venoms.
Yeah. So I think the moral of the story is I wish that if I didn't have to review this movie, I would have liked to have just seen the mid-credits scene and been like, okay, I get it now.
Yeah,
like, right. Now I need to know. Oh, yeah. Oh, Venom's in this timeline. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't go as far as to say cool.
Maybe he shows up in the new Spider-Man.
Well, I mean, good to know so that I'm not so confused in the next movie. He's going to show up.
He has to show up in the new Spider-Man, right?
Yeah, that's why
they're
doing
it. That's absolutely going to happen.
100%.
Yeah, okay. He's going to join Willem Dafoe and Dale DeHaan or whatever.
Dane DeHaan.
What? Who gives a
Picard? But I don't know. This movie was messy. And again, I'm all for stupid, campy movies that know what they are and you can enjoy them. There's no problem. And if you enjoyed this, that's great. But objectively, this was a poorly put together film with a bad script, bad performances, bad CG, bad action sequences,
bad lighting.
Yeah, it didn't look good.
I heard craft services wasn't very good.
Yeah. Sounds about right. Yeah. It was just brains.
Yeah.
It's disappointing, and Andy Serkis is a talented guy. His motion capture stuff, his performances are really good, but so far with his, I didn't see whatever the first Breathe or whatever his first movie was, but we saw Mowgli, and that was
so bad, a
bad Jungle Book movie. This just doesn't do it. I don't know.
Yeah, stop it.
Yeah.
You know, like, if you want to put him in charge of your mocap, totally fine.
Right.
Do it. I think he's earned that right. Don't let him direct your movie.
But his sensibilities, he just doesn't, I mean, from what we've seen, his directing sensibilities aren't there.
No.
Like, it just,
no.
There's a lot of choices that are
that
really
mocap
messy.
In the Apes movies are amazing.
Yeah. Yep.
They're amazing, but he didn't direct those. Like, yeah. That's Matt Reeves, so.
This is
a mess.
Bad. Yeah.
This is the way I feel, right? I feel like I am paying my dues for the next 2 weeks, because the next 2 weeks are two of the movies that I've been looking forward to for a very long time.
Bond
and Halloween.
Okay.
Like, those are the two that I'm like, all right, if I got to sit through an hour and a half Venom to get to the new Bond and to get to the new Halloween,
so be it.
Yeah.
Did you see Bond?
No.
I did.
Yeah. I have tickets for Thursday, so.
Don't say word
down. I'm just down,
all
down,
I know is I was down. Like when I bought tickets, I was like 2 hours and 43 minutes.
Let's roll.
Oh,
all
my
day.
God,
it flies by. It doesn't feel like 2 hours.
I hope you're right, because I'm like 2 hours and 43 minutes.
If I gotta tell you right now, if Rami Malek is who I think he is, I'm gonna lose my
okay.
Yeah.
So I guess there's that. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online, Facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. And of course, don't forget our Patreon with all sorts of bonus content at Patreon.com/Real Spoiler. So that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. Next week is James Bond, all 2 hours and 43 minutes.
Yeah, 3 hour episode
of it. No, it won't.
No.
So thanks for tuning in. Until then, put Edwina back in the bowl.
Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice because we already warned you. Better watch out. It's going to ruin the plot.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.